Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I walk a straight line. Shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Wrangler.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we got a guest for y'all today that you may or may not have heard of.
So she's our favorite guest. Our only repeat guest.
She is our only repeat. She is a three-peater now. So she's
three-peat.
I'm a repeat offender.
You are a three-peater.
Yeah, hey. In the podcast world. Yeah. And it's, y'all, it's Miss Kelly Jennings.
It's
KJ
me.
In the flesh.
KJ.
Hi.
Last time I said Kelly Jennings, the whole roof blew off of the Southeastern Livingston Center. Right. And I think they're still roofing it up there.
Two nights in a row.
Yeah, I know.
And
superstar.
Y'all may not know. If you don't know, you got to check it out. And we're going to be honored to be the guest on Kelly's podcast, Unspeakable. You gonna talk about a female Woody Overton nail some shit down? Holy shit! Hey, I mean, what I love about it, Kelly, is first of all, hi, Kelly.
Hey.
What I love about it is you get down to the nut cutting, right?
Yeah,
and you're not afraid. So.
No, we can't be afraid. You cannot be afraid. Justice. Listen, evil cannot win when the good are unafraid.
Evil only prevails when good people do nothing.
That's right.
Right?
Somebody said that.
They said good men, but
yeah,
Kelly's definitely not a man.
No, I'm a woman.
But she's good people.
She's all woman.
I try to do the right thing and be a good person, but damn it, I've had enough of the people doing the wrong thing.
Right.
And so.
and you've seen this. And y'all, Kelly's career is long and storied, but working in the Louisiana State Penitentiary as a classification officer, as a young, attractive female, is stories in itself.
Yes.
And y'all have heard some of them.
A young, extremely attractive
right
female and, who drove
shout
a
shout out to her husband,
dear
right?
God,
who drove a convertible.
Hey, yeah. I did. I had me a little 2-seater convertible. Hey, I was riding around like I thought I was somebody. I had no clue what the hell I was in the middle of. Looking back on it, holy crap!
And I want to make it official for you, all you guys out there. Kelly is off the charts. She's off limits.
She's in married love with to Blake.
Married to a great guy, Blake.
With blue eyes.
With his pretty blue eyes.
With blue eyes.
Yeah, super cool dude.
He is.
Yeah. And
we love our Blakey.
Which Blake is like sending for me because he backs you 1,000%. Jim, right? Backs us 1,000% on the crazy shit we do.
Yeah, and aren't we lucky though? Like really.
Blessed.
Beyond lucky. Blessed is right because... My sweetheart, y'all, he just, did you remember this? Do you have, because I'm a hot mess like Woody.
Shit, man.
And he's the one who kind of keeps me.
If it wasn't for Cindy, I'm like, they're talking all that business shit. I'm like, just let me get behind the microphone. I'm closing my eyes going, gosh.
Look, Blake the other day was on Facebook.
Jim wants to talk about contracts again.
Yeah, look. And Blake's on the computer and he's like, look, we can look at these insights on the, I said, whoa, partner. Like,
yeah.
That ain't me.
That's outside my wheelhouse. Yeah, print it up if you need to see it. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for being here.
I'm excited.
Hey, and y'all check out Unspeakable. It's not for the faint of heart. It's some good shit, and we are going to be honored to be on your show.
Yeah, look, absolutely. It's good to have friends,
right?
Yeah, is. Unspeakable, a true crime podcast by Kelly Jennings. But if you know, on any platform, it's on every major platform. If you just put in Unspeakable and then Kelly Jennings, you should be able to see the little image pop up.
Yeah, and you can get anywhere in the world. You can download a podcast, and
she even has her own website, unspeakablethepodcast.com.
Yes.
And so go listen, like, share, subscribe, and if you would, leave a review.
A good review, if I might add.
If you leave me
a shit review, then that ain't even nice. I hadn't even said anything yet.
No. Kelly, I got to tell you, and I got a shit review this week.
What'd you do?
I think it was more. No, but
I don't care. I don't care if. Get a 1-star. You know why? If I fucked up your day so bad that you took the time out to actually go leave me a 1-star, then I'm doing something right.
That's right.
So anyway, y'all, Miss Kelly Jennings, bloody angle. Let's do it.
So I'll start it off. And today's episode is going to be about a case that took place many years ago. You might be familiar with Barry Seal. And if you're not familiar with Barry Seal, you may be familiar with Tom Cruise, who played Barry Seal in a movie recently. But Barry Seal was an airplane pilot. He flew small engine aircraft primarily, also flew in the military, and was really good at it. One thing he was really good at was landing at small airports.
Or jungle airstrips.
or jungle airstrips. And so... it was these skills that got the interest of a large cocaine dealer at that time, and his name was Pablo Escobar.
The largest in the world.
Largest in the world, billions and billions of dollars. Matter of fact, at one point, he was on the Forbes top 20 richest people.
He also was the OG of starting cartels.
Yes. And he had the Sinaloa cartel.
Sinaloa and
Medellin,
he had the Medellin. Sinaloa was the competition.
Yeah. So he had the Medellin cartel, and they were in need of airplane pilots to fly cocaine back and forth between Colombia and the United States, and Barry Seal fit the bill. So we're going to fast forward a lot, but over the years, he started doing dealings with Pablo Escobar. He would get like $50,000. They just load his plane up And he would land it in sometimes in the swamps of Louisiana because he was from Louisiana.
Right.
And they would pay him 50 grand. Then it became 100 grand. Then, it was all based off weight.
And then, they started ripping everything out of the airplane. And once they realized, hey, this seat weighs as much as a kilo, we'll rip it out, baby. Yep. But he also had some government affiliation, the Central Intelligence Agency and all that. So, there's a reason he got introduced to the people in South America, and I believe it was during the Iran-Contra scandal. And all that. So his story is long and deep. But today we're going to give you some inside on that you don't know, that I didn't know.
That's right. So the end of the end for him, he eventually was caught. He was sentenced to community service while awaiting trial, which his community service was at the Salvation Army in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And it was during this community service that Pablo Escobar's henchman found him and shot him like 80 times.
Oh, shot shit out of him.
That was February 19th, 1986, when he was 46 years old.
And I was 16.
Yeah. And I was almost two.
In that building, I used to go there all the time to drop stuff off, to get tax write-offs from my dad, donations. But also, when I was at state police, I used to turn and go that back way to state police headquarters. Right there, they gunned him down.
Made him hamburger meat.
Yeah, basically.
I tell you what, you do something bad enough that the cartel comes to find you and blow you away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fast forward to a trial for the folks that did it. They got found guilty and were sentenced to Angola. And that's where our story kind of starts today, because our guest, Miss Kelly Jennings, has some pretty good information on.
Well, shout out if the cartel is listening. I don't have any any information of any value
about y'all.
If you're in a cartel, turn this off.
Yeah,
now.
If you're with the cartel, no, thank you. But no. So yeah, like I said, I was really young when this occurred. I think I was two when he was shot. So I didn't know anything about this, and I was in my early twenties when I rolled up at Angola. So to even think I had a thought about me. Right. When I would come in contact with him is almost kind of silly. To me, he just kind of blended in with the rest of them. But I moved all around the prison, right? I was at different camps. I know y'all did an episode on Camp J, right? And, it's kind of crazy about that. I was at Camp J for 1 week.
And they moved you.
Yeah, and I told, and they moved me. Reasons. And so that ski mask rapist, that's a pretty interesting story too. But anyway, so they moved me back to Camp D, and that's where I was whenever I had interactions with him. Now,
with whom?
Oh, formal name, Bernardo Antonio Vasquez.
Okay.
Now, I don't know why, but for some reason, I think I might have called him Emilio, and that's not his name. But
it's probably a nickname.
I mean, I called Jim Jimothy. I don't know. He never corrected me on it. But anyway, so maybe he told me Antonio, and I heard Emilio, and it just kind of whatever. I made it up. So, but he was a very unassuming guy. To consider what he did, never would have guessed it.
Yeah, but there's about 5,500 other ones in there. You probably never would have guessed.
That's true. I mean, some of them, I was just flat. I don't know why, but do y'all run, whoever's listening out there, do you like hear a story and immediately jump on your phone and research what they look like? And you're determining right then, did they do it based off your picture?
Right.
I don't know. I figured a, badass murderer for the cartel wouldn't have looked like him. Right. But he was, I don't remember how tall he was. He was taller than me. And I remember he had kind of a really long head, like top to bottom. His head was really long.
Huh.
Derek Todd Lee did too, by the way. Shout out long-headed people. But he had a really long head, and he had little glasses that he wore, and he was bald. And you could tell he was Hispanic, but and he had a very thick Hispanic accent when you spoke to him. Now, I had dealings with him just, on a daily basis, just doing paperwork or whatever. I didn't see him every day. But there's one story that sticks out, and had I known what I was looking at, oh man, to go back and to say, I want to buy it. But he was working in, we have hobby craft shops, okay, at Angola. So whether you agree with it or not, they have hobby crafts so that they can go in and they can build things, make crafts. They sell them at Angola. Yep. It's kind of their commerce.
If that goes back to the whole hope thing or give them something to do. If they're building, doing hobbies, then they're not raping and killing each other.
Right. Idle hands are the devil's work.
Or killing correctional officers. Right.
Right. And so they worked in those hobby shops. And so I would have to go in there and, you know, handle my business no matter where they were. And the hobby shop was part of it. So.
And her business, y'all, was helping inmates with different things.
Right. So a lot of like legal work, getting in and out. I say notary, but it was internal notary. I was not a notary. I'm not a notary on the street. Passing out things called, you know, dispositions or outcomes for things that they requested or if they changed their visitation list. A lot of clerical, but a very important job to the inmates, I promise you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you're getting work done for them.
Right.
You know? And so I walked into the hobby shop and I had been seeing him, you know, in and out working on this painting. Wow, what a talented artist.
Wow.
Very talented. This was not someone who just kind of was like brushstroking it. Mm-hmm. He's talented. And so I'm just a curious, nosy person and I'll talk to anybody. And so I walked up and said, hey, man, what's going on? And he was like, oh, in his little accent, oh, nothing much. Just doing my thing, you know. And I said, well, what you got here? Wow, that's is that a chessboard? He's like, yeah, it's a chessboard. But when you talk to him, he is not a man of many words, or he was not with me.
Right.
So you had to kind of pull him to say things. And he spoke kind of slower and just, you know, chill. I got the feeling that he was not going to say much. But if I prodded enough, he would talk to me a little bit, you know. Right. Definitely not a talk.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Though. But anyway, so he was painting and the painting looked like, if you know, a square canvas, and it was a chessboard, but the chessboard was real wavy. Okay, so it was like a moving wavy chessboard, and there were pawns and pieces all over it laying about. And I thought, well, you know, obviously it must be symbolism or something, you know. And I was like, well, what's this about? He was like, oh, you play chess? I said, no, I don't play chess. And he was like, it's a chessboard. And that was kind of it. Like, he just kind of said, it's a chessboard. And so I was like, okay. So I watched him paint a little bit more. And I probably should have walked off at that point, but now I'm invested and you're not saying anything to me. So I said, well, tell me about it. Like, why is it wavy? And he's like, how old are you? And I said, I'm 23, you know? And he's like, oh, okay. Well, you don't know, and I'm ad-libbing here, but you don't know much about life probably at 23, do you? And I'm like, I know enough. I mean, you know, what could it be? It's freaking chessboard. Like, and he's like, yep, do you play, but you don't play chess? I said, no. And he's like, well, these are called pawns. And he pointed at it, and he continued to paint. And I said, okay. And he said, do you know what a pawn is? And I said, I mean, a chess piece? And he's like, nope. He said, we're all pawns in a big game. And he said, you have to recognize when you're a pawn. And I was like, okay. And so I looked at it, and I'm like, all right, obviously he's saying life's, you know, there's a big game to it. Yeah. But if you looked at the pawn, at the pieces, they had, like, faces on them. It wasn't a horse or a whatever. They had faces on them. And I said, well, who are you painting this? Who are you painting on this? And he just shook his head, like, no.
Right, I'm not going to tell
you. He's not telling me anything, you know. And I was like, all right. And he said, just know the pieces will always fall, something along those lines. And I was like, all right, you know. And I looked at it, and I just watched him paint for a little while more. And I said, all right, bud, well, I'll see you later. Bud, I'm talking to the freaking murderer for the cartel. Okay, bud, catch you on the flip.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was like, all right, buddy, you know, and I just kind of walked off from there. Now, fast forward, this is kind of interesting. Fast forward to today, and I'm talking about 2 months ago. All right. I'm at school. I'm a school teacher, for anyone who doesn't know. And I go to see a friend of mine, and she is an art teacher, and she's, you know, real artsy and into all of the arts. And shout out to art teachers. I appreciate art. Okay. But we were talking. I said, hey, we should team up. We should do like a project where maybe y'all could, you know, do artistic interpretations of crime scenes or something. I don't know. And, you know, we can make a cool little class out of it. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. Actually, when I was in my art history class, and I thought, oh, God, you know, here we go. And the words that came out of her mouth next, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. She said, yeah, did you know that there's actually a they use, you know, paintings and things as like commerce in prison. And I was like, well, not really, you know, maybe if they're trying to get money off of somebody else, a painting for a friend. Okay, you know, we're kind of chit-chatting. She's like, no, when I was in art history class, my teacher put this painting up on the wall and we learned all about it. And girl, it was an inmate at Angola that painted this painting, okay? And I was like, cool, what was it? And she said, oh, it's a chessboard. It's this wavy chessboard. Y'all about fell out. Well, I said, hold up, who painted it? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Some guy. I said, I know who painted that. And what it was it all started with that painting, but using that painting, that teacher did something to explain how commerce went from a painting all the way down to a pack of cigarettes, basically, and how it could all be exchanged. Right. But they went through the history and of the artwork, but she didn't even know who painted it. I stood there while he painted that. I saw it with my own two eyes. My own two eyes, as Woody would say. Saw it with my own two eyes and was
two eyes.
Y'all dumbfounded.
So there's teaching about this painting in art history classes now.
Yes. She went to Southeastern. So, hey, if you go to Southeastern and you – hey, I'm taking over your show real quick, Woody and Jim. If you go to Southeastern and you take a art history class and they bring up that wavy chessboard painting, your girl was there, saw it happen as it was being painted.
You ought to go try to buy it.
Kelly couldn't remember if it was Emilio or whatever, but I just looked up that art board or tried to look up wavy art board and Barry Seal's murderer. And – she was correct. He died in Angola, but they have a picture of him, and they are saying his name is Miguel Velez, V-E-L-E-Z. And Kelly, that's him, right?
Yeah, that's him. I'm looking at the picture.
And so let me read you this article from the WFB, and it's from August 31 of 2015. It says, corrections official said drug cartel hitman Miguel Velez, who was convicted of killing drug smuggler Barry Seal in 1986, has died while serving a sentence at Angola State Penitentiary. Pamela Board with the State Corrections Office said Velez had been in hospice for some time and passed away on August 25th. Velez was convicted in 1987 of killing Seal along with Luis Carlos Quintero Cruz, who was the actual shooter, and Bernardo Antonio Vasquez. Seal, who was from Baton Rouge and smuggled drugs as part of a DEA sting operation, was gunned down while working community service in the city. Seal's story has been the focus of several documentaries and movies over the years, and Tom Cruise is set to play him in an upcoming biopic titled Mina, M-E-N-A, y'all. After the Arkansas town where Seal flew in much of the drugs he smuggled into the U.S., a Netflix original series titled Narcos, which features the Medellin cartel Kingpin Pablo Escobar, whom Seal informed on, premiere last Friday. So pretty cool. His shit being taught is really crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you got to remember too, like, this got put together in my head backwards. So, when the names are hard to keep up with and you got all those shit, inmates.
I don't even do names.
But like, I will never forget that painting and him doing that.
And that is a cool story. And my question would be, because I know how you are, when you walked off from him and you were intrigued, were you like, I wonder what this dude did?
Yes. I knew it. Absolutely, 100%. So another, I mentioned it to someone else, and I can't remember who it was, but they told me, you know, that's a hitman for the cartel. And I think I almost laughed at it. Like almost like, whatever. I'm not just standing there with a cartel hitman painting. Well, honey, yes, I will butter my butt and call me a biscuit, because I sure as hell was standing right there.
Absolutely. And y'all, they call it a machine gun slaying on another article. And they talk about these guys that did it. And Cecile, 43, was hit by a burst of machine gun fire as he sat in his car outside a Salvation Army halfway house in Baton Rouge on February 19th, 1986.
So crazy. They were stalking him to find him.
Yeah. They knew where he was. And that was a big uproar because they should have had him in witness protection.
Yeah, I said a prosecution witness said the Colombian-based smuggling ring, which has been blamed for importing tons of cocaine into the United States, had placed a $500,000 contract on Seal's life. Mm-hmm. Seal, who was serving a probated sentence at the halfway house on drug and currency charges, had refused to enter the federal witness protection program. A flamboyant man once described as the nation's youngest airline pilot. He scorned the witness program because it would have subdued his lifestyle. Mm. Wow.
I wonder, though, if that wasn't a suicide mission almost. Did you really not think they were coming for you?
They said the shooters were arrested about 2 days after Seal's killing in Louisiana, while Velez was caught in Mississippi trying to reach an Alabama in a taxi. Now, how many taxis do you think they got in Mississippi? Yeah.
I would have expected more of a getaway from the cartel.
Well, this says Quintero Cruz was described as trigger man, Velez as the getaway driver, and Vasquez as the organizer who obtained weapons, cars, and lodging. A fourth man, Jose Campo, is to be tried later. 125 witnesses identified Quintero Cruz as the one who pulled the trigger. How the fuck do you think they got 125? Must have been broad daylight. Must have been everybody at the Salvation Army.
And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Salvation Army is right in front of Florida Boulevard.
And another said he saw Velez drive the getaway car, and several said Vasquez took care of the logistics of the mission.
That's 125 people with balls the size of bowling balls. Yeah, 125 people stood up against the cartel. Give me a break.
Right.
I didn't see nothing, officer.
Me, look.
I heard something sound like firecrackers, and I just ducked my head.
Mm-hmm.
That's about done.
Nothing happened. Now, I don't think. I want to tell you something else, but it doesn't have to do with him. But can I tell you anyway? It's about painting. This is actually really funny. So there I am again at Camp D, right? And if you came to the live, remember the visuals, right, that y'all put up or everything?
Right.
This is in that exact same hallway. This exact same hallway, but when you come down that hallway on the right-hand side, you would have seen a lieutenant's office, okay, right there. So you'll know if you look at it. An inmate got written up, okay? And this inmate they called him Scooby. I remember that now. They called him Scooby, okay? And it's because he had the red hair like the guy on Scooby-Doo.
Shaggy.
No, that's what they called him, Shaggy. Yeah. Okay, you ready? They called him Shaggy. All right, now. He had red hair, was kind of, you know, confuzzled and kind of whatever, but he was a great painter, okay? And so they had hired him to come into the lieutenant. I get so tickled by this. I thought it was the funniest damn thing. They hired him to come in and paint a mural on the back wall of the lieutenant's office. And old Shaggy, y'all, was an old, just old dude, you know, nothing much. Well, one day I walk in there and there's a bunch of ranks standing there doing something. I'm like, well, what the hell y'all doing, you know? And one of them looked at me. He's like, well, we had to swing Shaggy. I said, why? What did he do? And they said, well, look at the wall. You tell me what he did.
He put something secret.
So I'm looking at the painting, and I'm like, what? And then one of them points, it was a swamp scene, okay, like a big wetland scene. Right. And on all the teeny tiny little turtles that were in the water, it was his face. He had painted his own face on the turtles.
That's funny as fuck. Only in Angola, right? That's the F you to the man.
He had his little red hair.
I wonder
hair.
How long it took him to realize that. Somebody was probably sitting there drinking a coffee one day and zoned down and was like, what the fuck?
What? Why is that Shaggy's face on a turtle?
Look at that turtle. Look at that other turtle. Shaggy everywhere.
Damn it, Shaggy.
Shaggy smiling at
him. Yeah.
It wasn't me, and, but they got me.
You know what? When they got him, I bet you had a lot of days before they swung him that he just, every time he walked in there, he'd secret like, motherfucker's got you.
But what a cool thing. So if you can find that online or if anybody, you know.
I'm definitely going to look it up. I want to see it. That's crazy.
Speaking of artwork, though, I don't mean to take a turn here, but artwork in prison is a pretty crazy thing, but they're not allowed to make money off of their name and their crime.
Right.
And if you know the Jodi Arias case.
Yes, I do.
Right? She was an artist, and there was a big funky stink about that because she was doing paintings and wanting to sell them.
Right.
And you can, as you can imagine, but Travis Alexander's family.
Let's flip it around. Clifford Etienne, if y'all.
Boxer.
Right? Who fought Mike Tyson.
Yes, got his knocked out.
But the only reason he got knocked out.
Took
now, I had him on cell block at DCI, him and a guy from Livingston Parish, and he was the inter-prison boxer champion. They, you know, about boxing teams, they go and fight other prisons. And it's a big fucking deal, right? He was the champion, and his case got overturned on appeal, so he got out and became a professional boxer, and he went to fight Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson hit him, not bit him, no Holyfield. He hit him in the ear and busted his eardrum. And if you watch that fight, his equilibrium was off, and Tyson ended up knocking him out. But he gets out. He gets out and reaches pinnacle of his career. He's beating everybody's ass. Fort Tyson busted his drum, eardrum. And then he got back on dope in downtown Baton Rouge off of Thomas Delpit. He got into a fight. He was doing an armed robbery.
Or
it was robbing a store. Mm-hmm. The cops got there. He got into a fight with the cops. He took one of the cops' guns and went to kill him in a fucking gun jam.
Ooh.
So it was attempted murder on a police officer in the gun jam. And so he goes to Angola this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now somebody told me this. One of the lifers told me this last year. He's like a renowned artist. Right. But he does all the scenes of New Orleans, like the quarter and second lines and stuff like that. Of course, he sells them all at the rodeo.
Yeah.
And so he's not allowed to make money off his crime.
Right.
But they're allowed. I mean, some of the arts and shit are just phenomenal. I had my mom was an attorney also, and I had her. An attorney at law plaque made by the inmates, and it's just phenomenal art.
Well, and they have. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I've got a painting actually in my house that is a swamp scene. Absolutely beautiful. It's like the sun rising in the back of it, and I got it from a prisoner at the Angola Rodeo, and I negotiated him down.
Right. There you go.
You told that murderer what was up.
I told him, I'm going to give you $52. And you can take it or you can leave it. And he said, I'll take it.
You want to go creeper level, though, like 1,000? So I'm about to do a free plug for the Death Museum in New Orleans.
Yeah,
all right, if you live close to us, go to that Death Museum in New Orleans. Y'all, they've got, when I say art, it's not paintings. They have a hair tarantula from Charles Manson.
Oh.
His hair tarantula. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of him and art, you know, he was a big artist.
Yeah.
He would give a shit away.
You do enough acid, anybody would be an artist.
Do you know who else was an accomplished artist? Or in his own mind?
No.
Adolf Hitler. That's how he started out as a painter in between World War I and World War II. He was a starving painter in Austria.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm going to go even further left on the Hitler thing. Do you know that there is somewhere, I can't quote it, but he is credited with...
I know
fluoride.
Everything.
You do? You know? I'm sorry.
I know everything about Hitler.
What do you know? He was credited with discovering fluoride
for teeth and stuff.
Yeah, in toothpaste.
That I can assure you that wasn't his intentional purpose.
No,
his original purpose.
No,
but I mean, he's also credited with having prisoners ingest, you know, 10, 20, 30 gallons of water till they exploded because their pilots kept getting shot down over the English Channel, and they didn't die from being shot down. They died from ingesting too much water. So he was using Nazi concentration camp prisoners, had his doctors doing all kinds of crazy testing on ways to help his pilots get back to land.
Yeah. Well, dadgummit. Woody knows everything.
I know.
Walking
all I know is toothpaste.
But back the Angola thing, that's a real deal. Like, even, you know, all these people want to write these fucking serial killers and shit and these murderers and marry them and all that. But you're right. They passed that law, I think it was in the 80s, because Charles Manson was one of them. They have a selling this shit. And people, Ted Bundy, they wanted a poem from him or a signature or whatever, a lock of hair, and they're like, fuck you, you can't.
And
do
Dahmer
that.
Too.
Yeah. Boy, what a special monster that dude was.
Dude.
Right?
No thanks. I don't want anything that dude's got.
Right. Crazy.
But hey, what a bunch of wasted talent too. Like what an absolute waste of talent. If you could see some of the things that come out of Angola, it's like, what in the world, dude? If you would have just applied yourself.
Right. Well, even the people that, like the painters, like talking about the murals. Now, we've never talked about this. Throughout the prisons, they have murals painted. They have things painted on the walls and the bullpens and different areas.
And the water tower. Remember, it had the huge Indian thing?
Hey, I'm talking about fucking Picasso shit. And like Etienne, instead of trying to kill that cop with his own weapon, he could have been a renowned artist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I guess when you get locked up and you can't, well, I'm sure they can't get dope, but you can't get all, live the lifestyle you used to live, then your other talents can, like say if you go blind, your hearing gets better.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't break the law.
Yeah.
And don't bring dope for the cartel from point A to B. It's super simple. Yeah.
Sooner or later, that's just not going to work out.
Yeah. Thinking you might.
Hey, there's a really good documentary out there. It's kind of old, but it's called Plata o Plomo, Silver or Lead. And if you go watch that, I met the producer of that. Have I told this story to y'all before? Mm-mm. I met the producer of that film at a conference I went to, and he literally went in with the cartel in Mexico. Now, they all have masks and stuff like that on, and they really, like, talk about what the deal is and why it's no joke. Now, I don't speak Spanish, so I apologize. If you speak Spanish, I don't probably pronounce it right. But the whole plata o plomo is silver or lead. And basically, once you are in with the cartel, or even if you don't want to be, right, you either take silver, which is their money, or lead, which is the bullet in the head. So he was screwed from the get-go. The second he said okay, it was done.
Took that money to the money took him.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was $1 million if they brought him back alive. $500,000 if they killed him for Barry Seals.
I'm good with the $500,000.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. I'm just kidding. Like, I wouldn't kill anybody for $500,000.
$500,000and $1 there?
Hey, Ian Woody, watch yourself.
Yeah, right.
I'm actually a teacher. I'm poor, so.
Yeah. I'm a podcaster. I'm poor.
Look at us living the dream.
Living the dream.
This couldn't happen. This could not happen twice if... I'm telling you, I should have bought a lotto ticket. All right. Now I wasn't working there now. Okay. I'd left already.
Right.
I became a teacher. And so I was going to go back. I had talked up this Angola trip. Man, we were so excited. Okay. So I load up the kids. We're in our little bus. And if any of my students are listening, they can vouch for this from years ago. And we go riding along and I'm so excited. And I'm telling stories and this is going to be so much fun. And I had promised everybody and the parents, look, it's going to be fine. We're not going to take the kids anywhere where they'll be in danger, blah, 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 blah. Y'all, but it's still prison, okay? There's no guarantees. So we get there. We're going through. We're having a good old time. And we, you know, we do the tour. And then we get back to death row, right, way in the back by the training camp. And we get off the bus, and we're going to walk into death row, kind of like the end, big all, see all, do all. And they were going to go see, not death row, the death house, though, right? And, next thing you know, I see lights and sirens. I'm talking 90 to freaking nothing flying towards our bus. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, this is not good. this is not good at all. And so I'm like, get in the death house, get in the, you know, we're not missing this. I've talked enough too much. I don't care what happens. But anyway, we didn't get through the door, maybe five kids, and they pull up and they're like, y'all load up in the bus. You got to go. I'm like, wait, can we know what? Get on the bus. You got to go. And I'm like, I want to know why. At least, you know, so I have the kid, you should have seen parents like faces, right? Just drop.
Right.
And, so I'm like, just get on the bus. It's fine. They might have, you know, an electrical problem. I don't know. Get on the bus. Get on the bus. Get on the bus. They escort us.
A lot of things. Electrical problem.
Yeah. I'm just making something up, right? So we get on the bus and we're rolling. They're like, we will escort you to the front. You will not go to the museum. You can leave. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Right. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
So we get to the front, and armed officers get on my bus, and I've got all of these kids looking at me and all of these parents like wide-eyed, and I'm like, I don't know. So I just stood up, turned around, said, everybody get in your seats. Do not move. Don't stand up. You may not go to the bathroom. They're coming on the bus. Don't move. Yeah. And everybody just still, they come on and they walk down our bus and back our bus. And they're like, you can go. So they're still not telling us what's going on. So we start making it back down the 20-mile road.
Mm-hmm.
We make it a mile. They stop us again. Right. Armed people get back on the bus, come walking. And I want you to imagine he's got like a AR, you know, big gun. Anyway, he walks down and he comes back. And as he's walking backwards, he walks down and he passes one of my parents. And he stops and he backs up. And the parent is standing right next to the kid. Okay. And I'm like, oh, no, please, no. And he says, come with me. And I was like, oh, my God, I've never lost a parent yet. Now I'm going to lose a parent on my field trip. So he steals my parent. Little boy's looking at me, and I'm like, bro, I don't know, but we ain't going to question it. Like, your daddy might have to just stay at Angola because I'm going home.
He might have been an escapee from 20 years ago.
We sat there in utter silence for about 15 minutes. And he's like, you know, just staring at me. I'm like, bro, I don't know. What did your dad do? And they come back and they bring him back on the bus. And he's just like, holy crap. And he goes and he sits down. And someone came up to me and said, look, if y'all see this guy, and they had the wanted, they had an escape while we were there.
Right.
Okay. And they thought that my parent looked like the guy.
Wow.
And so they took him, right, to make sure it wasn't him. And then they gave him back.
Yeah.
And, you know, stupid me, I'm trying to just like break the silence. I'm like, he's back. You know, nobody thinks it's funny but me, you know. And they ended up finding him 2 days later. He had escaped. I have the picture, too, of when they found him. But he had just walked off. Basically, he was a road walker, and he had walked off and just wanted to leave. He made it out to where, like, the elementary school was, and they found him laying down in a ditch 2 days later. All right, so that's bad, right?
That's all right. How do you get your next school trip approved?
Oh, are you ready? Wait, are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
So the next year, it's approved. We're going to go back to Angola. And I'm like, new year, new me, right? Okay. Load up the bus, take it to Angola. We make it to the same spot. And they make us leave the next year.
Really?
Because guess what they did have?
What?
They had an electrical problem.
Oh,
it literally was an electrical problem. And they made us leave because they were, you know, whatever. But I said, 2 years in a row, I've had a field trip.
That's crazy.
Stopped at the prison.
But we're not taking our field trip with Kelly. No.
Kelly, you're bad luck.
Bad luck. My husband says I'm bad luck at the gambling table, so I'm not allowed to stand next to him.
So the electrical, in their defense, anything out of the ordinary is a diversion. It could be a diversion for an escape or something. So, and let's go back to the death house real quick. Tell them, y'all, there's a difference between the death house and death row. The death house is where they use the move the convict, usually 24 hours or maybe
24
days
hours
or whatever it is. It's a short time, and they move them to the death cell, and the convict is watched 24 hours a day. Someone sitting in front of their cell because they want to make sure you don't kill yourself.
We get to kill you.
Right? Before the state gets to kill you. So that's totally separate than death row.
Right. So death row is actually a whole different building. Mm-hmm. It's behind it, and death row is probably what people think regular prison looks like, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because when you walk up to death row, you're seeing lots of wire, you're seeing lots of gates, like double the gates. I mean, I think you have to go through like four or five gates before you even get in to death row. And I'll tell you one thing that I remember too is I got to take students on death row one time. It was a small group. And so we got to go back there. I got to take them literally, you know, down, which is really cool. Right. But I remember on our way back out, this is when Derek Todd Lee was still alive, the serial killer, Banner serial killer. And he was meeting with his attorney right then. And he turned around and just locked eyes with me again. I was like, this dude here, man, he needs to get somewhere.
Yeah, he went hell from jail.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to KJ for she came to both lives for Bloody Angola.
Totally unselfishly, by the way.
Her and her husband.
Yes.
And the
Blakester.
KJ got up at the end of her presentations when she was introduced, and she went off in only unspeakable style. And in a good, I mean, whatever was, came to mind, you could tell this shit wasn't rehearsed. It was just like, blah, blah, blah.
If but y'all have ever been to a, let's just say, a very soulful church, and they're preaching the gospel, and all the ladies are up, and they're, amen, and I can feel it, sister. Spirit, that was the whole place when she got up and she started spitting on that microphone.
Well, and I'll tell you what I said too, if you're curious, and I mean every damn word of it, so just so you can know, but don't get jaded by all these people in the, you know, you see all these, oh, here I go, let it out. But
let it out. Wake me up.
You know, all these people that write these inmates, right, or want to marry them and all that, of course you're getting the good side of them. And I wanted to show that to my kids when I took them on a field trip there. And so they brought us into the museum, right, and the inmate got up and he talked about his life and this, that, and the other. And then, oh, but he's getting out real soon. And you could just see the kids' eyes like glaze over like puppy dogs and the sad story of this man locked up. And that's when I was like, Time out. Did you reach out and apologize? How long have you been down? And he told me, you know, 20-something years or whatever, 30 years. I said, well, have you apologized to your victim yet? Like, have you apologized to your victim yet? And I could feel the kids cringe. Like, no, you didn't. But yes, I did. Yeah. Because that's what we need more of.
Right.
Yes, I did. Have you apologized to your victim? Because what I know that the kids don't know, and a lot of people don't know, is we do have victim offender dialogue programs.
Didn't he ask you, said, and then he's, what are you?
He said, who are you? Are you an attorney?
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm a pissed off mama.
Right.
Because you're over here playing these games, trying to make people feel sorry for you, and there's someone dead because of you.
Right, right.
So I'm glad you think you're going home real soon.
It's kind of hard to apologize as victim, as worm bait, right?
Yeah. I mean, so just for what it's worth, sure, you're going to find a lot of people in prison that are good, nice, kind to your face, but don't ever forget they didn't get there for missing church.
Right. All right. KJ, we love you. Can't wait to
We love you, KJ.
More work with you. Can't wait to be a guest on Unspeakable.
Yep.
And thank you. Oh, back to the lives real quick, y'all. When's this gonna drop?
This will drop tomorrow.
Okay, back to the lives real quick, y'all. I'm gonna throw this out there. I know this is Bloody Angola, not real life or crime, but Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. We have the raffle going on, and the big winners are going to be drawn Saturday night at the Crew Bash, February 4th, downtown at the Basin, at the 4th annual Crew Bash. But I asked for more donations for the Friday night at the VIP event, which is February 3rd, downtown at the Basin also. And if you just want to come Friday night event, there's a ticket price for that also. But we've had an overwhelming response, everything from a Traeger barbecue grill to a diamond necklace and earrings to
Apple watches and
like $900 just in Apple. I mean, y'all
legit
get it. If you don't want to buy a raffle ticket for all the big ass prizes we're giving away on Saturday night, if you do, that's $15 for one, $10 for a book of 100. And Friday night, I'm gonna auction that shit off. We're gonna have some though where you call it silent auction, dip, but the big items, I'm going to auction them off on stage. All the proceeds.
Oh, live auction?
Yes.
So you can bid it?
Hell yeah. Hey. You're going to be there.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to
spend some money too.
Right.
Though.
I love me an auction. The only thing better is getting to be auctioneer.
Yeah.
So it's all about raising the money. And you look, I know times are hard. And last year we raised a shit ton of money for LOPA. I mean, when eggs cost $9 a carton, I get that. Everything's gone up. But this money goes to a nonprofit that saves lives. And, you know, the fourth annual Crew Bash VIP tickets, if you want to go both nights, third and fourth. Otherwise, the Real Life Real Crime fourth annual Crew Bash is Saturday night, where I'm going to do a live podcast, crowd interactive podcast.
Adult only.
Isn't that the night of Spanish Town?
That's the night of their ball.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. I just want everyone to know that I'm coming and I'm dressed look like a hooker because of our theme, but I don't normally dress like that.
That's right. And you know, you got your VIP.
You dress like that all the time.
So, no. But anyway, if y'all
flamingos,
check it out on social media. You don't have to be present to win for the big drawings for Saturday night. If you do have to be present to win all the cool shit. And if you want to continue to donate between now and the Friday auction, please do. Contact me or Cindy Overton through any of your ways of social media. So, sorry to make that plug, but LOPA is important. Hey, Jim, you donate to
me. I'm a donor.
You're
a donor this year.
You're a donor for the $750 value for
podcast, right, and $250 in advertising.
Right.
Ooh,
so
I'm going to get that.
That's going to be drawn on Saturday night, along with everything else, all the big ones,
yeah,
in which I did an episode of now. But I'm going to do one. We'll try to get out on Tuesday for just about Friday night event and the Crew Bash, and buy your raffle tickets, people. It helps LOPA.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of time we spend, we have some here. It costs, yeah.
Okay. We have some here. So if anybody's listening local to the Livingston Parish area, we have about 20 raffle tickets here at the studio. Just come on by. If you see the big yellow H2 Hummer out there, that means I'm in here.
That's right.
Just come knock on the door and I'll be glad
and
to say you.
We appreciate all your support for that. I know LOPA does. And look, yeah, Tuesday's episode is going to be fire, y'all. We just got a huge donation last night. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but it is fucking huge. And that is going to go. We're going to announce it on Tuesday. Whoever buys the most raffle tickets for Saturday night shit is going to win this fantastic prize.
It is a fantastic prize.
Right.
But we're not telling you.
We're not telling you just yet.
Now, and we're all of us are organ donors in this room right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we love LOPA. We're not just talking out the other side of our face.
Right,
and
right.
Everybody involved.
Even the horrible case, LSU, yep, the lady
she
was raped.
Donor.
And then got killed, and she's a donor. I think three of her organs went.
I know it was her heart, and I think it was her kidneys, liver.
Yeah, a couple items went, and anyway, prayers.
What a gift to the people who receive it.
Her family. Right.
Her tragedy has become someone else's second chance at life.
Right. Amen.
Right. Love you, LOPA. All right, and
I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we're your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making. A
complete story of America's bloodiest prison with Kelly Jennings.
Peace.
Thank y'all.
Bloody Angola is an Envision podcast production in partnership with Workhouse Connect. Music produced and composed by Alfie DeRuin in Studio 433 with vocals by Thomas Kane. Created and hosted by Jim Chapman and Woody Overton.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie. Calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three. I'm here for life, I'm here to die.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.